God bless you as you give. I wanted to share a little bit of something with you tonight. I've been talking on Wednesday evenings through the book of Romans, and it just so happened, honestly, that tonight I was going to be talking on Romans chapter 6, which just happens to be the chapter that talks about baptism. And I want to share that with you just for a couple of minutes here tonight. We probably won't be here very long, probably not over an hour, hour and a half, so don't worry. Chapter 6 of Romans, if you have your Bible or an electronic device that you read your scriptures on, would you open it to that chapter tonight? And it starts out by talking this way. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound?" It's talking to Christians here. And he says, "Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" What I want to say to you tonight is so cool that God offers us an option. He's offering us an option. As a believing child of God, we don't have to do the things we always did before we knew him. This is not just a belief system. This is not just a philosophy that we adopt. This is an experience with God where his nature begins to fill our nature and replace our nature. And we're born again, literally born again. We're a brand new creature. The Bible says old things pass away and all things become new. Now, in and of ourselves, we can't live for God by our own strength. We've found that out. The whole Old Testament taught us that lesson. No one was ever justified by the works of the law, but Christ came and died for us and shed blood for us that we might be saved. And so tonight, as a believer, as you've seen people go through the baptismal tank tonight, I want you to understand that this lesson is for that particular scenario. We were baptized into Christ Jesus, into his death, okay? His death was voluntary. His death was voluntary, and he took upon him our sin, and he paid the penalty, the ultimate penalty of death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it says over here in verse 23, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that happened through him. He shed blood that cleansed our sin. But you and I have the option tonight of living under the power of the resurrection spirit of Christ. That is an amazing thing. I just can't begin to explain to you tonight what all that potentiates, what all is possible to us because Jesus has given his life for us and because his Holy Spirit is living inside of us now. Let me read on. It says this in the next verse. "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death." That's not just some kind of a hyperbole there, not some just kind of a word to impress us. It is a reality. We are through his death, are baptized into that same death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's a promise from God. Now, I just like you, we are tempted, we are pulled back to the things that we used to be and the way we used to think and the way we used to live. But I want you to know that our potential is not to go back there. We now have the power to say no. We now have the power to say, "I'm not going there. I'm not that person anymore. That used to be me. That's not me anymore." Paul, talking to one of the churches that he was writing to, said, such were some of you. You were adulterers, you were murderers, you were this, you were that, you were the other thing, but you are not now. And what God wants us to understand is that we have a whole new DNA functioning in us by virtue of the Holy Spirit's entrance into our life. And the potentiality of that is a brand new life, a totally different kind of life than we've ever known before. And so, in verse 5, it says, "If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Now, in our earlier life, we just couldn't keep from doing things. You know, some of us had a longer list of things than others. But the bottom line is, no one has ever pleased God on their own. It's impossible for us to do that. To break the law on one point, the Bible said, makes us guilty of the whole thing. So this amazing gift through Jesus Christ clears the slate. It cleans it completely. He washes away our sins. One of the scriptures says, throws it into the sea of his forgetfulness. Corrie Ten Boom, one of my favorite lines, said, and posts a sign that says, no fishing allowed. You know, he moves our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, another scripture says. And east and west never touch. They're never together. You can't go so far east that you're going west. You can go so far north you're going south, but you can't go the other way. So God is saying, I want you to understand your past sins that are under the blood of Jesus Christ are literally in a different universe. You no longer have to answer for those things. He has. Verse 7 says, for he who has been, who's died has been freed from sin. The rabbis had a saying that said this, when one is dead, he's free from the commandments. Think about that. They were literally, the commandments, the Ten Commandments were preached to the Jews, and they had 600 some odd commandments, and it was really a drag. And yet they were obligated to those commandments and had to offer sacrifices occasionally to free themselves from the penalties of those things. But what the rabbis said, look, you know, when you're dead, you're freed from those things. And the New Testament writer here, Paul the Apostle, has picked up on that idea, and he's telling us that in Christ, when we die with him, when we go through the waters of baptism and we die with him in that sense, that we are in fact dead indeed to sin. It no longer has the rule over us, technically. Now, if we think it does, and we operate accordingly, then we continue to walk under that power. But I'm telling you tonight, Scripture is very plain about this throughout the New Testament, that when I have died with Christ, I am alive to God. I'm not dead in my sins. And I have the ability to be a different person altogether. Verse 8, it says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, I love this, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That word reckon there is not the one we use when we just say, I reckon this and I reckon that, like some hillbillies do. Reckoning is an accounting term, a term that rightly places numbers in the right column or justifies the numbers, adds the numbers, and comes up with a conclusion that's airtight, okay? Well, you and I need to tonight reckon ourselves, consider ourselves, take the account of everything and say, I'm dead to sin and alive to God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that the motivation now is not avoiding sin all the time, but pleasing God. The Bible tells us if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I have the option now of walking away from that old life and walking in the Spirit of God that is pleasing to God. I can literally please God. I can bring a smile to his face. I can honor him with my life now. So one day he can look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's within reach of every person. These that have been baptized here tonight, those of us that have been baptized before, those of us have the Spirit of God living inside of us, we can literally live a life that's pleasing to God. And leave the guilt behind. So many people even serve God out of guilt. And that service is never enjoyable. It's always like, I got to do this. I got to go to church so I can make God happy. Bless God. I'm telling you, when you're walking in this other end of things, when you're walking in the joy and the peace of God, going to church is fantastic. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. He's not saying, man, that's Sunday, I got to go to church. And what happens to us when we're walking in the Spirit and we hang out with other people that are walking in the Spirit is there's a richness, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a friendship, there's a closeness, there's a community of things that we maybe have never experienced. The closest thing is our natural family. And as a Christian, sometimes you find yourself in a situation that's even closer than your natural family. You begin to be built up by those things. And so I'm just saying there's such an alternative, and I want us to appreciate that. There's so many Christians that walk around looking like they've been baptized in lemon juice. You know, and that's not the way it ought to be. People are supposed to look at us and say, hey, what's the answer for the hope I see in you? And everybody else is going crazy and feeling sad and bummed out and frightened and fearful like so many people are in our nation even now. It's a joy to find some people that seem to have it together. Some people that are happy. Some people that are going someplace. Some people that believe for good things that are going to happen. And that's the kingdom of God, folks. And trust me on this. You need to get used to the kingdom of God now, because if you're a Christian, you're going to be living in it forever. It starts here and continues on into the next realm. And it's so good to be able to experience heaven's best. We were singing it tonight. It's been the message of this generation, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on this earth. And if you can pinch yourself and feel it tonight, you're earth. You're born of dust. You are the element into which the kingdom of God wants to make its home. Jesus preached the kingdom of God more than any other message. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom where he is ruling, where he is leading, and where his word counts ultimately more than anything else. So we're invited into that. What an amazing thing we get to be part of. And so we're to reckon ourselves dead to sin but alive to God. In other words, my receptors are turned wide open to whatever God is doing. The Holy Spirit inside of you, I say this all the time, but I want to say it again tonight. It's not some junior Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the same exact one that raised Jesus from the dead. The same one that raised Lazarus from the dead. The same one that caught up Enoch and he walked with God and was not, for God took him. The self-same spirit that on the day when Jesus comes back and touches his foot on the Mount of Olives and calls us home to be with him is going to raise dead bodies from the sea, dead bodies that have been deconstituted for ages, and pull them together, give them a brand new body, and take them on to heaven and present them faultless before his throne of grace. That's the Spirit of God I'm talking about. And he's not just a feeling. He's not just goosebumps. He's not just something that kind of happens and we feel something. He's the third person of the Trinity. And guess what? He is carrying words from the throne of God. He is the coin of the realm. He's like Facebook on steroids.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I hate to even compare him to Facebook because I hate Facebook. But let me just say, he's universal. He's everywhere. He knows everything that is to be known. In fact, the Bible says this crazy thing. We have the mind of Christ. Wow. What do you think you need to know in your life that he doesn't know? He's the greatest search engine there is. He's the greatest wisdom there is. And because the Spirit of God lives in us, the potentiality of that is mind-boggling. You might say, well, I don't bring much to the table. I'm not very talented. I'm not very smart. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not the other. Well, good deal. You just go ahead and die then. Because the life of God is a resurrection life. What you brought to the party initially is being enhanced, is being replaced, is being improved. The Spirit of God had a plan for your life before you were born. The Bible says, before the foundations of the world. Now, anything that's been planned for that long is pretty good. I want you to understand that the Spirit of God inside of you wants to potentiate a life beyond your wildest imaginings. He wants to do more with your life than your relatives think is possible. He wants to do more with your life than your teachers thought you would ever be able to do. Because the wisdom of God is your heritage. He knows everything, folks. He wants to take what he's given you. In fact, I was talking to a person today that's a fantastic counselor that would kind of come and do a conference for us here soon. And she was talking about the potential locked up in people. She was singing my song. I was talking to Josh tonight, and we were talking about Mary Grace up here on the stage and how Mary used to be kind of shy and didn't want to sing in front of people. And I said, I'm just so glad God has released her to do that now. But she had to respond. It's always been there. But now the Spirit of God is using her and touching life, and I don't know where it goes from here. Same with Charity. She's got that vision, and she's been unleashing people to be creative and be what God called them to be. They were locked up in what they thought they were. And God said, no, you don't see what you are. I see what you are. And this baptism, now I'm not trying to just pump baptism tonight for the sake of the fact that we did it. This is just where I was in this teaching. But baptism opens the doors to us for resurrection power. Resurrection power not to do certain things, and resurrection power to become certain things. And the same resurrection power that's going to translate you out of your earthly body into a heavenly body that lives forever and transport you to heaven, which is your future home. That's some kind of power, folks. And I don't want us to undersing and undersell and underutilize that. So this is a perfect moment to talk about it, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. Here it says, and I'll close with this, these next few verses. It says this: because you reckon yourself alive to God, basically, verse 11. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't let it call the shots. Don't be controlled by it. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members, that is your faculties, what you have in life, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Can you imagine what the Lazarus principle would be? Lazarus came out of the tomb. He had been very dead for several days, and now he was very alive. But he came out wrapped up in grave clothes. What did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. And I want to declare to you that many of us, although alive and resurrected, are walking around in grave clothes. The old life, the old friends, the old thoughts, the old desires, they still wrap us up. And can I just tell you something? After several days, grave clothes stink. There's an atmosphere of grave clothes. God wants us to put on new clothes. He wants us to be clothed with righteousness, with peace, with joy. He wants us to understand this is natural. See, that's not something that's put on. It's something that the Spirit of God gives us. But you know, it's amazing. Some people get saved and stay right where they were. They say, well, that's just the way I've always been. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, nothing is the way it's always been. The potentials change. And so we can walk out of that into some amazing things. So don't present your members as instruments to righteousness. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law but under grace. And he goes on to talk about, you know, what are we going to, now that grace has been so good to us, are we just going to continue to sin because we're not under law, but we're under grace? But then he says in verse 16, do you not know to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, that you're that one's slaves, whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So the bottom line here is that, as I've been talking to you this evening, is that death is a terrible subject. We don't like it because we're eternal creatures. It seems like it shouldn't be. You understand? It seems like it shouldn't be. The fear of death is the last and worst fear that we face. And one of my favorite preachers said this. He said, what death did to Jesus is nothing compared to what Jesus did to death. You know, we all fear it. But Jesus looked it right square in the face and said, I've got your number. Take your best shot. Because life is more powerful than death. And Jesus has given us life, eternal life. And it's not just so that we can go to heaven someday. It's so that we can eat the fruit of it right here and right now and reproduce that life everywhere we go. That's an awesome thing that God's done for us. We're going to close here at this point in time and pray tonight. And we've left the water in the tank, and we have somebody standing by. If somebody here tonight would love to be baptized. I talked to a young man that just got saved this evening and told him it's good to be baptized right away. It's not something we wait on and think about and pray about. You don't pray about stuff that God has said to do. Praying about something that the Scripture commands you to do is the first step to deception. So if you're a Christian tonight and you've never been baptized, it would be a great night to step into the waters of baptism. It's not cold outside. You go home a little wet, but hey, you go home baptized. And so it would be a good thing. So why don't you stand tonight and we're going to pray. And is somebody going to lead us in something? Good. Because you don't want me to lead you in something. I'm going to trust you right. You can trust me on that. Praise God. Hey, thanks for coming tonight. If you're a family member or somebody that doesn't, and you don't normally come here, we're so glad to have you as our guest. And it's been an honor tonight to spend the evening with you. Would you just take the hand of the person beside you tonight? That freaks some people out, you know. Oh, but they might have germs. Well, they probably do have germs, or you do. But I want us to pray for one another tonight. You know, the Bible says that we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's always my desire when people attend church that nobody leaves without having their needs prayed for at least, because God answers prayer. So if you're here tonight and you have not been prayed for, maybe you have and you're thinking of something you really need prayer for, just squeeze the hand of that person beside you and that'll let them know that you need prayer, okay? So Father, tonight we just give you thanks for Jesus. What an amazing, amazing plan to bring us into your kingdom, to bring us in such a way that we don't have to be guilty and fearful all the time, that we can know that we're children of your love, that it was your idea. Because God so loved the world, you told us, that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a gift. What an idea. And we are so thankful tonight that we're recipients of that kind of love. Tonight, Lord, we pray for our friends on either side of us. We ask that your kingdom would literally come upon their life in powerful ways. That you'd reorder their steps. That you'd open their heart and their mind to your understanding and to the things that you want to say to them. We pray, God, you'd prepare them to receive all that you're doing. Lord, it is such a joy to be in your house and in your kingdom. And we ask your blessings to come upon everyone here tonight, especially the candidates for baptism tonight that have experienced something that you've commanded them to do. And there's a blessing that follows that. And so, Lord, we ask that you bless them, make your face to shine upon them, and give them peace. We pray the Holy Spirit of God begin to transform things in them that they thought would never change and open their eyes to the things that you want to do and the joy of following and walking with you. So, Father, we give you thanks tonight for all you do for us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.